Acts chapter 9. Verses 32 through 35. This is the word of the Lord. Now, as Peter went here and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed." And immediately he rose. And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Here is a command that we have dreaded from our youth. Make your bed. Yet now we find it not only upon the lips of our mothers, but upon the lips of our Lord, as spoken by the apostles. Make your bed. Why did Peter speak these words? They seem a strange conclusion to the glorious wonder of a man who was paralyzed being healed. We readily understand the command to rise. What else would we expect of a man who had been bedridden for 8 years to do, but upon being healed, to rise? But the command to make your bed, it feels anticlimactic. It seems ordinary, mundane. It is hard to imagine that we would even think to speak these words upon telling a paralyzed man to rise. The Lord Jesus Christ heals you. But Peter did speak these words. Rise and make your bed. What are we to understand by this command? Is it a concern for tidiness? Perhaps. But perhaps it is a concern for something more. There is something familiar about this passage, and that is for good reason. Something like it happened before. Something like it happened during the ministry of Christ. That event is recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew, of Mark, and of Luke. It is a well-known story, one of men who carried on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they sought to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But because of the crowd, they could not find a way into the place where he was teaching. And so they carried him to the roof and cut an opening and let him down through it. And when Jesus saw their faith, what did he say to that man? Something that no one was expecting. Luke chapter 5, verse 20. "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And at that point, the scribes and the Pharisees, they began to question in their hearts, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, responds, "Which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you. Or to say, rise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And the man did so. He rose before them all, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home, glorifying God." From this miracle, from this work of wonder, we discover an even greater wonder: that Christ is able to heal the whole man, body and soul. He is able to heal the whole of you, for he took to himself the whole of you. And what he assumed, he is able to heal. He is able to heal your body. He is able to heal your soul. Jesus did not speak in the name of the Lord. He spoke as the Lord. For he was and is the Lord. And we see that again in Acts chapter 9. When Peter speaks, he speaks with authority. But that authority was not his own. He speaks with the authority of another. He speaks with the authority of Christ. It was in the name of Jesus Christ that Aeneas was healed. It was not Peter who healed him. It was Christ who healed him through Peter. For this is the nature of Christ's exaltation. Having been raised from the dead, and having ascended to the right hand of the Father, all authority, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to him. From heaven, He is able to heal on earth. From heaven, He is able to forgive on earth. So we may understand that the healing of Aeneas was the healing of the whole man, of both body and soul. For the Lord did not give to his apostles authority only over one and not the other. He did not give to his apostles authority only over sickness of body, but also over sickness of soul. When sins are forgiven in the name of Christ, we ought not doubt that they are forgiven by Christ. We ought not doubt that they are forgiven by the Lord. Why did Jesus tell the man who was paralyzed to rise and walk? That we might know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. But then may we conclude from Peter, in the name of Jesus Christ, telling the man who was paralyzed to rise. That the church has authority in the name of Christ to forgive sins. Whatever she binds on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever she looses on earth is loosed in heaven. To the church has been given the keys of the kingdom. She does not speak the forgiveness of sins on her own authority, but on the authority of Jesus Christ, her Lord. And through her, the Lord Jesus Christ is pleased to heal. To heal us, body and soul. When a minister of the gospel declares your sins forgiven you, it is not the word of a man. It is the word of the Lord. It was not Peter who healed Aeneas. It was Jesus Christ. From heaven, through the ministry of the church, he brings healing to his people, body and soul. But still, we have not answered our question. Why does Peter tell the man to rise and make his bed? Now, this command is slightly different from the one that Jesus gave. Jesus told the man to rise and take up his bed. But Peter tells him to rise and make his bed. And here, as always, we may look to the Old Testament for help. For we find there the same word that is used here, to make one's bed. Yet the context is unsettling. For the context is not healing, but adultery. As in Proverbs chapter 7, verse 16, where the wayward woman speaks to a man, "I have spread my couch with coverings." That is, "I have made my bed. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love." And elsewhere we see this same image in the context of Israel's adultery against the Lord. As in Ezekiel chapter 23, verse 41. "Behold, this is what they did in my house. For them you adorned yourself. You sat on a stately couch. That is, you sat on a bed that was made." In Proverbs chapter 7 and in Ezekiel chapter 23, this image of a bed being made, that making of the bed, it was for the purpose of adultery. And so it would seem that this can have nothing to do with what Peter commands Aeneas in Acts chapter 9. And yet, perhaps it does. Perhaps the command for Aeneas to make his bed is not spoken out of concern for tidiness, but out of concern for love. Not the illicit love of the adulterer, but the sacred love of the Lord. For what do we read at the end of the passage? Verse 35, "And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord." They turned to the Lord. This may be translated in another way as well. They returned to the Lord. And this too may be read in the context of Israel's adultery against the Lord, in Israel's turning away from the Lord. Throughout the prophets, we hear the voice of the Lord. We hear the voice of the bridegroom speaking to the one who turned away from him.
return to me. Return to me.
Isaiah chapter 44, verse 22. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud, and your sins like a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Hosea chapter 14, verse 1. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely. They shall return and dwell beneath my shadow. They shall flourish like the grain. They shall blossom like the vine. Return to me. Israel's idolatry. It was the sin of adultery. She once made her bed for idols. But what does the Lord say to her? He does not say, "You have made your bed, now lie in it." He does not speak to her words of condemnation. He speaks to her words of grace. You made your bed for idols. Rise and make your bed for me. The bed is sacred. It is sacred because it can be defiled. You cannot defile something that is not sacred. Your bed belongs to the Lord. Your bed belongs to Christ. For whom then will you make it? As we see in Acts chapter 9, it is not always because of our own sin that the bed on which we lie is a place not of rest and comfort, but of pain and sorrow. For so it was with Aeneas. His bed was not a place of freedom. It was a place of suffering. And so it may be for some of you. bed can be a place of terror for children. As they hear the creaking on the stairs and do not even think to pray for kindness, but only that they might be ignored. It can be a place of horror for women and for wives, where they lie paralyzed from fear and wonder if God sees, if God hears. It is not only to those who have defiled their beds. It is also to those who have suffered upon their beds that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks, "Rise and make your bed." It is the promise that he will heal your wounds, that he will make you whole, that this place of pain and suffering will become a place of freedom and joy. Let us then make the bed a place of love for the one who is love. Let us make it a place of rest for our children, for our sons and our daughters, and a place of peace for our wives. Do not fear. It is Christ who heals you. Do not fear. It is Christ who speaks to you. Rise and make your bed. So rise and make your bed. Amen.